Well, I'm fairly sure that it'd help if you'd pray for me. I'd like to start with a verse or two in Hebrews. Twelfth chapter. Fourteenth verse says to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That ought to raise our attention level, statement like that, because without, this says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So it's an important thing to have holiness in your life. Most important, all important. Brother Clifford Wilson used to say that he gave it, his definition of holiness was the sum of it all, of all righteousness, all that's right and good. That's the, when you add it all up, you get to holiness. Nothing's left out of it. It's what purity is, and honesty, integrity, love and mercies, and those kind of things. It makes up the whole of holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So it makes it a very important part of our life. I know the world, it's not popular in the world to suggest such a thing, but the Bible is pretty specific about it. It's what the Lord's plan was. You and I could never ever get to that place on our own. We weren't holy. It takes Lord helping us to do it. But that's not all of that. Because the scripture is saying, you seek holiness. Because you're not going to get it if you don't. It's our part to play in the whole story. We've got to want that in our lives more than we want the opposition of that in our lives. And if you choose the opposition in your life, you can't have that. But it's also another element involved in it. You got to pursue what gives you that. You got to butter up with, you got to snuggle up with, you got to get too close to the one that can give it to you. What it is what this scripture goes on to say. It says it like this, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. So, I take that to be saying that it's a pursuit of, and it's the grace of God that brings it. It's the grace of God that helps us to get that. We're in a pursuit of it. But do you know that the grace is available? One song says it something like, as free as the air we breathe. Grace is available in the accomplishment of holiness. But it can lay dormant. You don't have to be active in the grace of God. And if you don't put an active pursuit of holiness in your lives, the grace will lay dormant. Yes. But because it's exactly what grace is for. Grace is for us finding holiness. In every place that you would say, I need grace, you can about put the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit in that place. If you was to say, for instance, I really need the grace to help me to love this person, that's a fruit of the Spirit. All of it is combined together in that place there. And so it's an active pursuit of that. A couple weeks ago, a man called me. We were talking about temporal things. But somewhere along in the conversation, he says, Have you heard about the asteroid that's coming towards Earth? And I said, yeah, I heard about it. Well, as a side note, I think it was Christmas Day, there was an asteroid that barely missed Earth. It was about 2,000 feet long, traveling at 27,500 miles an hour, and it nearly got the Earth at a distance of, it missed it by 4.5 million miles. That's in astronomical terms, when you start talking about light years away and that kind of stuff. Astronomically, they say that just almost got us. That was a near, that's what scientists call a near miss. Now, that's not exactly what this man was talking about, but he said, did you hear about the asteroid? And I said, yeah, I've read about that. And he said, it's on a collision course with Earth. And I said, no, no, the story that I read was, is that it's going to miss Earth as a narrow miss. And he said, that's a lie. That's a lie. They want you to think that. Now, you is a term that's used that never says who you are. They, somebody that's always a little hard to understand, but they want you to think that. Said the truth of it is, it's going to hit Earth. Said there's a professor come out and said they're purposely lying to you to keep you from being panicked that this asteroid is going to hit Earth. It's supposed to hit Earth somewhere in Southern California in 2020. This is what a man was telling me. And he said, I don't know what you think about that, but I believe that this is part of the Lord's plan. This is part of the end time plan. And he started telling me about the plan, what was going to happen and all. And this is the way I had to respond to that. And I respond to it to you this way. I don't pretend to know much. And I surely ain't going to go into the realms of what God can do with his stuff. And if God has some plan of using some asteroid for some purpose, I suppose it's his asteroid. He can do anything he wants to with his asteroid, and I have no way of knowing what God's going to do in the universe, and I don't go in things that's too high for me to know. I just plain can tell you, I don't know what God will do with these asteroids. But I did tell this man this, the things I don't know, I won't pretend to. But there is some things I do know. And this is what I know today. It's not an asteroid that's going to cause you to lose your soul. I don't know all the stories that you can wrap up around all the things that go on around in the earth. But I know this. The scripture says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. I know that it's sin in people's life that destroys them. I know that we do need to be afraid of something. You know, everybody wants to know the future because the future is, it's scary. Not knowing how to work, not knowing what to do with the things of the future. We all can have a little worry or dread of the future if we're not careful because we don't know what it might be. And we would like to know. Throughout time, people wanted to know the future. If I could only know the future. You have all these, every New Year's used to have these warnings of Nostradamus or some great, he put these things in, and anybody that looks at that stuff knows that it was generic and that you can pull out truths off. I mean, if you say the thing in a certain way, you can say it, it's going to come through. I predict that half the time that we live is going to be dark and other half light. I mean, I probably will come true. I mean, or at least you'll think it is. Or you can say, well, I predict that it's going to rain next month. Well, it probably will. I mean, things like that. But people want to know the future because there's something that troubles us about it, not knowing. And people have always wanted to know what the future is. God knows what the future is. He's the only one that does. But you know what people do? They get hung up on all of these things that don't matter. You know, we should be afraid of something. We should fear losing our soul. We really should fear failing the Lord. We ought to have a fear in us that we're not making, and the Lord not say to us, thou good and faithful servant. We ought to be scared of things. But you know what I find out that most people are afraid of? Some concocted thing that doesn't matter much. We'll grab a hold of something that really don't matter too much. I remember talking some revelations one time with some folks. And they always stayed a little upset at me because, well, be honest with you, it may be some of my personality. I'm not sure. But they was always upset at me because they had this theory of revelations that I didn't buy. And when they would say this, I wasn't buying it. I was saying, I don't think it's that way. And they were saying to me, you're exactly the kind of person that's going to get it. I mean, they were stockpiling food under the bed because when you got the mark of the beast, you weren't going to be able to buy and sell. And you're the kind of guy that's going to be caught with this because you won't understand this. Okay, well, that's true. But during the conversation one time of one of this, the phone rung. And one of them that was there in the conversation says, if that's for me, tell him I'm not here. Now see, I'm not smart enough to know about putting stockpiling the food under the bed. Or whether the asteroid's going to hit in 2020 and the damage that it'll do or what it'll cause. But I know what a liar gets. See, I know what the liar gets because that's spelled out pretty plain. And that's in Revelations 2. It also says that you get the lake of fire for that one. Folks, there's things to be afraid of and there's things not to be afraid of. We will always be a human. We'll always be startled at things. I know of people that were so afraid of a snake that they could. I know a guy one time that was so afraid of snakes that he was going to pull a trick on his brother one time, and there was a rubber snake and it was in the drawer, and he went to get that rubber snake out of the drawer and he couldn't do it. He knew it was a rubber snake. He was afraid of snakes. He couldn't even get a rubber one. And we will be afraid of things in life. And people have put out a lot of effort for the fear factor of things. But there's one thing that we all ought to be afraid of today. And it ain't an asteroid. It's on losing our souls. We ought to be afraid of losing our souls. We ought to keep it in our hearts and minds. We ought to be afraid to make the mistakes. We ought to be afraid to be wrapped up in sin. We heard the other night about the chain. We're talking about the chain that gets you to places. The reason why that matters, folks, is that we ought to stay away from the chain that's going to lead us into those places. We ought to be afraid of that for our soul's sake. Now, I know over the years people have made done all these wild out things for the scare factor of people. People like to be scared for some reason. And so they come up with these things like, I remember Fright Night when I was growing up. I wasn't saved, and there's this Friday night, Fright Night they'd have, and they would show Dracula movies or Frankensteins or all these monster type movies where you could sit and be startled and afraid. And then they went on and had like Friday the 13th and these horrible killers and how bad they was doing this and all this. I'm going to let you all in on something. If you're not here when the Lord comes back, you're going to die. And that's as scary as it gets. Except for losing your soul. So the factor out there is the reality of our mortal lives. We're going to die. And we're all going to have to give an account of the life that we've lived. That's as scary as it gets in reality. See, all the great imaginations of the great villains of the past that done all of these things. Do you know there was a great Holocaust back in the 40s where the great Jewish Holocaust, and 6 million Jews were exterminated, put in gas chambers and burnt and cremated and all these bad things. There's not any of them, if any of them, that could possibly be alive today had they not been. My point is only this. They met it that way, but they'd have met it some way, anyway. In the whole view of human life, you get one life to live. After that, you're going to face the judgment with that life. And so I can look at life in this prism. I've got a life that's quickly running out. And if it's by murder or shock or death or explosion, and if that asteroid misses California and deviates and it hits West Virginia and it's on Greenbank and it's right on top of my house and it hits right there when I'm here, I'm going to die some way, is my point. But here is what we ought to be concerned about. Do you know we ought to be more concerned about telling a little lie than asteroids? Or the various other theories that can come up in the human life about what the future is going to be. Meeting God and after explaining to Him why you didn't have holiness in your life and why you failed of the grace of God that was there to help you tell the truth. And why Jesus was so indifferent about the sacrifice of Jesus and why you didn't care. Do you know that that's going to be the worst thing? That's the reality. But as they say, reality is worse than the made up. That'll be the most fearful place that the human soul will ever find itself. We ought to be more concerned about the attitudes that we harbor towards our fellow man. Do you know that? We ought to be more concerned about our charity than we are about all these theories. But I'm not going to tell you that some of the theories are accuracy or inaccuracies, because I'm not smart enough to go there. But what I am smart enough to know is that sin will destroy your life. Sin isn't acceptable to God, and He made a remedy for it. And the remedy is here in this pursuit of holiness, and by the great grace of God that He gives us to be able to do what we couldn't do for ourselves and to be something that we couldn't be. Do you know that the reality of the human existence is, and there's a reference to that in the idea that all of us have sin. You know, in a sense, I believe in the deliverance of sin. I believe that you can live a holy life according to the scriptures. But do you know in a statement that all of us still have to deal with sin? Do you know the default set in our lives is that if we fail of the grace of God, this is the way I look at it, God lifts us up out of the influences of sin. I believe that God has grace for us to live a holy life. But it's like pulling us up out of the ocean of sin, and we're above the ocean of sin, hung there by the grace of God as we live life. If that's severed, where are you going to fall to? We all still have sin to deal with. It's under us. That's what we ought to be afraid of. We don't have to fear all those different things from the very beginning of the scripture story. God created people in His own image in holiness. It was sin that destroyed it. Do you know, put in a nutshell? You want to put it all in a nutshell? Put all the future in a nutshell? All your work, all the things in the nutshell? This is the storyline? God, Jesus died to save us from sin, and the devil wants to try to get us back in it. It in a nutshell is, the whole thing is for us to live this life faithfully, without the stain of sin on our lives. And so I don't know about all the theories and all the things out there, but I want to tell you this. That's what to be afraid of. That's what we ought to concern and worry ourselves. I say worry ourselves. That's what we ought to be concerned about. That's what we need to fear. Well, men can cause, you know, I've said this many times. I'm not afraid of most of the elements out there. I mean, there are some fearful things. Storms are much bigger than I am. I have things that can destroy me. But none of them's diabolical. I don't know, understand what I'm saying. They'll tear up my neighbor's house the same as they will mine. They're indiscriminate. They're not chasing me. I don't have to worry about getting a tornado on my tail and every time I make a left turn, it makes one and chases me all over the place till it catches me. It's not diabolical. It just goes the way the Lord tells it to go. People ain't that way. There's some awful mean people out there. There's cruel people out there. There's people out there that will harm you. I mean, I do some pretty silly things sometimes, but I'm not malicious with it. The other day, I made a mistake in my driving, and I had some road rage after me. I mean, I didn't know if he was going to chase me or follow me, so sometimes it brings a certain concern. What am I going to do with this guy that's losing it? Brings a fear. But it can't take my soul. I know there's a concern about that in the flesh, but what we really should be concerned about is our soul. There's a scripture I want to read with that one, Matthew 10. It says in the 28th verse, it says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." Well, if you take that just purely for what it says, fear not them which kill the body. Can you take it to that point? It says, fear not them that's able to kill the body. Well, I'm sure Jesus was talking about context there, and there was people that was going, was persecuting them for their Christianity, or going to. There's people that's always anti those things. I think that God's big enough to keep His people through all ages of time. I think God's big enough to keep us until He's through with us, don't you? Don't you think the Lord's big enough to keep our lives until He's ready to let us go? All the apostles had that experience. Do you know? I mean, the apostles that left off the scene fairly early. They had hardly no ministry at all. But then there were some that went, it was hardly anything an enemy could do for them. Leave them for dead, try to do this to them, all these things. God wasn't through with Paul. So He kept him alive, kept him good. The Lord said, don't fear them that's able to destroy kill the body. That's all they can do. It's only the body. When the Lord decides you can get out of here, you can get out of here by a lot of ways. I used to say about the coal mines, I worked in the coal mines. People would say, well, aren't you afraid in there? I said, there's 100 ways to die in there. Oh, there were so many ways to die in the coal mines. But there's just as many ways dying going to the mines. There are so many ways to die, folks. There's a lot of ways to die. Fear not him that's able to kill the body, that's all that he can do. Remember old Stephen? Stephen come up to it and come time for Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Ghost. Started telling them, boy, he preached a message to them. You want to hear a message? He preached it straight. Preached it to them. They get mad and start throwing them rock, want to stone him to death. Do you know what? It was Stephen's time. Well, that didn't sneak up on the Lord. Stephen looked and seen Jesus standing. He wasn't sitting. That means something to me. I think language means something. And sitting is a relaxed position. It means stately. There's a lot of things it means. But standing means you're alerted. Jesus was alerted. He knew what was going on down there. And it was happening. And old Stephen's down there and throwing the stones. And I want to tell you something. He could just simply say, you guys, if you're aiming to get back at me, you better watch how hard you throw those stones.
Because if you throw one too hard and it takes me out of here, you've just done me a favor. You can't hurt me. You can't touch what I'm trying to foster here. You can't get to it. You not only throw it at the body, but you're about to free me forever. You're about to let me to go to be with the one that I've been talking about. You know, that's about as much victory as you can get. But through it all, folks, I want you to remember something here. It was not the fear of the stones. It was the fear of the attitude that could come and the hating back that you'd have to take to eternity with you. And that's why Jesus warned and said, don't fear them that's able to destroy the body. You better be concerned about your soul. What if they start gnashing their teeth and saying lies about me and going to start throw stones at me and I rise up and say, okay, I can throw too. And the last thing I do in life is throwing stones back. I don't know about all the great theories out there of the end of time, but this is what I do know. We're going to have to face the Lord in holiness. We're going to have to face Him with what we've done with His great grace. Well, fear not Him which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now that ought to be something that we think about. I ought to be more concerned about the exactness of my language. I should be more concerned about the devotion of my soul. I should be think more about what I'm thinking about and what I really am than the worry about all the theories. Well, there was a reason why this stuff was given. The book of Revelations was for a reason. The Lord gave it for understanding. But the amazing thing about Revelations to me is that it takes walking with the Lord to understand it. Another amazing thing of it is, I believe if you see it correctly, it almost eliminates any false religion from understanding it. You ever think of it? If our idea of Revelations is true, it eliminates all the false religion of ever understanding it, because there are the characters in it that they would never see themselves as. You couldn't even see yourself that as that. Do you know it takes a certain holiness to understand things? It takes a grace of God and a willingness to know where you're at to understand things. It really does. You have to be honest with yourself to understand the things of the Scriptures. How can you possibly understand? I say this without getting into the specifics, but how could you, if you was the beast, how could you possibly understand it if you're the beast? You would have to look at it and say, oh my, I'm the beast. You know what that caused you to do? Not be the beast. So it's almost impossible for the falseness to see it. You have to be correct to understand it. Well, that's the way of the Lord. Hides it from those that don't want it and gives it to those that will understand it. Bottom line of it is, it's not asteroids that's going to destroy us. It's not some diabolical thing way out there. It's sin. Sin has been the damaging factor, folks. I'm going to tell you in a nutshell, the whole story is about God eliminating sin out of our lives and making us acceptable through the blood of Jesus. You want to talk about being scared or fearful of something? It ought to be about falling back into sin. It ought to be about telling a little lie. It ought to be about getting an attitude. What did the scripture there in Hebrews go on to say? Not only did it make the passage or the statement about the grace of God, it went on to say, unless a root of bitterness springing up. You think that's acceptable? You know, there's people that's afraid of a snake. What's the ultimate that a snake can do to you? Well, I'm saying ultimately there's fear of snakes, and sometimes things are just ugly or not charming to us. But why would somebody be afraid of a snake? Well, I'll give you the obvious answer. Some of them's poisonous and they bite you and you die. And you get sick and all the things that follow it, so you naturally would be afraid of that. Why would somebody be afraid of a spider? Little old spider. Why'd somebody be afraid of them? Well, they all aren't bad. Well, if you hate spiders, they're all bad. But spiders form a function in our ecosystem. I mean, why hate spiders? Because some of them's poisonous and they bite you and you rot out. I don't want to rot out. I want no spider biting me. I don't play with spiders. I don't like spiders. There's all kinds of things that people are afraid of in nature. I mean, I've lived in West Virginia for 57 years now. I've never heard of not one bear attack up there. Not one. So I play the odds in my thinking a lot of times. Well, if it ain't happened in 57 years, it probably won't happen to me today. That's the way my mind works. I'm not really afraid of it. There's people that's afraid of a bear. I mean, is there bears out there? Yeah, there's some out there. Well, I ain't going out there. I'm afraid of a bear. You know what you ought to be afraid of? Not forgiving somebody. Now that's what you ought to be afraid of. You ought to be afraid of having a bitterness in your heart that you're not dealt with. That's what you ought to be afraid of. You can hear the reports that, what is he? Kim Jong? He's gonna send a rocket over. The president calls him a little rocket man. He's guys with the rockets. There was a scare, what was it, last year in Hawaii? Somebody said, they told some joker report that there was a missile coming their way. It had everybody for a few hours diving under stuff and getting in holes, and they were scared. They were scared. Well, a rocket's coming. What you gonna do? A rocket's coming. Earthquakes. Earthquakes gonna come. Well, that's human. I'm not putting down the human. I'm just putting in a contrast of what the Lord has said and what the scripture's saying. Is the reality of our lives here. You may or may not be in those kind of things in your life. I still say God is big enough God to keep us in every situation. I'm positive of that. The thing we ought to be afraid of, if you're afraid of a spider, you'd be much more afraid of committing sin. You're afraid of a snake? You'd be much more afraid of not forgiving somebody. But you know what? The Lord was pretty specific and told us that if we don't forgive one another, that He's not going to forgive us. That's pretty fearful. You're going to get in this? So there can be a report of a rocket or an asteroid or something bad coming. And people will get them nervous and get scared and all these things and all that. And debate revelations and do all that, and then phone rings, and if that's for me, I'm not here. Even took it farther than that. Do you know sometimes, because they knew the conscience, the phone would ring, and they would step through the threshold from the living room to the porch. Tell them I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm outside. Is God really that blinded? And you're afraid that you're not going to have food to eat when this thing hits? With that, Lord help us. I put it in a nutshell. We ought to be afraid of losing our souls today. We ought to be afraid of those things that we let get into what we heard as the chain of events that start that. Do you know when you do that a few times, you can actually make it easier. It makes it okay. There can be justifications for that. I want to look at another scripture. Is in 2 Corinthians. Ninth verse of the seventh chapter. Now I rejoice that not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort,
Lord help us. Sorrowed after a godly sort. Lord help me to walk in this kind of a place. That the things that I do in life can touch me. That I can feel the prick of God in my life. That I haven't done things to run that if I say a thing out of the line a little bit. You know, in the last days, Brother Jim White's life, I admired the man a lot. In the last days of his life, I saw him fight the fight of a righteous man. He wanted to be saved so bad that he kicked it in high gear. He started dealing with everything. Calls me up one day and says, Brother Martin, I need to talk to you. Down there, and he told me that he had a conversation with somebody, and he had told me how he, what he done, all that. I didn't think it was amounted to much at all. But I'm careful because it meant something to him. And he said, what do you think I ought to do about that? And I wasn't aware, I thought I knew him well, and I wasn't aware of the event. So I asked him, Brother Jim, when did that happen? When did you have this conversation? And the answer was something like, well, about 1948. But he wanted to go to heaven, see? And now he's dealing with the specifics of stuff. I said something that I shouldn't have said. It wasn't exactly right. Brother Jim, are they still alive? I wouldn't have any idea, he said. I don't know. Well, there's ways that we deal with that. And God's not a hard taskmaster. God loves us. There's a forgiveness for those kind of things. But I admired the man. He said, I need to deal with this. Because I'm short on this life. Might not be here long, but I have to deal with this. And I'm going to have to deal with it right. This scripture is talking about sorrowing after a godly way. It did touch me that I've done something. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that. For behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. What carefulness, folks, that it wrought in us. The carefulness in Oklahoma to have a storm shelter. That's pretty careful, isn't it? I know why you'd have, I don't have a storm shelter in West Virginia. I don't need a storm shelter in West Virginia that I know of. I don't need one. Why would people get one out here? Because a big F5 might drop down on top of your head. That's why you get them. You want to be quick enough to get in them, right? People think that way here because there's so many storms and things are happening. It's natural that it be that way. Not preaching against it. Don't get me wrong. If I was out here and want some hole to dive into, too. I'm just putting it in perspective here. What carefulness it wrought in you to make sure that I ain't telling something that ain't true. That I'm not justifying unforgiveness by calling it something else. Do you know what I'm talking about? Or I'm not justifying bitterness by putting it in there that it's a good for their souls. Do you know what I mean? Tough love. I think all that's accurate, but you know what we can do? Use it to the flesh. What carefulness it wrought into you that I want to make sure that the thing that's really going to get me, I'm afraid of. I don't worry too much about the other things. Some people used to say it's going to be the end of the world and the fire that's going to burn it up is going to be nuclear explosions. That's how God's going to do it. I don't know how God's going to do it. All that don't make sense to me, but it don't matter.
Because nuclear explosions cannot destroy my soul. Asteroids can't do it. Mean men out on the street can't do it. People that throw stones can't do it. None of those things can do it. I know I'm destined to die. I know I'm destined for eternity. The worst thing about it is, the most fearful thing of all, the Stephen King, King novels and all the great minds that done all the weird things and come up with the artistic ways of expressing it to scare people and all that, none of them ever got close to describing what hell's going to be like for a soul that goes there. The absolute torment of the soul and what's going to happen to the human existence in that place has never been got to. We ought to fear sin. We ought to fear those things. The scripture says in this, after this sorrow, it brought a caution, a carefulness. You know, when I first got saved, Lord help me to have that in me yet. When I first got saved, I knew almost nothing. And I don't know much now, but I knew almost nothing. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. All I knew was is that I wanted something in my life, and I found something that was the answer for everything I ever wanted. It fulfilled my salvation experience worked for me. I so cherished it without having any knowledge that I didn't know hardly what to do, except for I knew I didn't want to make a mistake. I didn't want to lose what I had. And so I was doing some things that made me in the years to come to be merciful towards people that was criticized sometimes for the things that they done. And I would say, leave them alone. That'd be my expression. Leave them alone. They're doing it for the Lord. They don't know better. I didn't know better. I remember thinking that the way I combed my hair was worldly. So I kind of parted it in the middle back in and back. And I remember right after I was saved looking at myself and said, that's just worldly. So I just my head down and I didn't want, I'm not saying I didn't comb it out, but I didn't want to do anything. Hey, this was my expression. What carefulness it wrought. I did not want to displease the Lord with anything. So I just put my hair down and that's the way I wore it for a long time because I didn't want to displease the Lord with anything because I found something. And it was so precious to me that if I thought, I tell you what, I'd have done just about anything. And when I see people doing things that I say, I think Paul would say simply in the most courteous way of expressing it, a weak brother. I think I was a weak brother without understanding. I remember one time before there was any kind of doctor or knew any kind of thing, I went in, the day after I was saved was going to get me a drink, and I looked in the refrigerator. And there was some different stuff in there to drink, and there was some Pepsi in there, and different stuff that we drank and stuff. And I remember just like, I don't know, I think water's safe. So I went and got water. You all say, you was a nut. No, well, I had something I wanted to keep. You know, the Lord taught me a lot of things in my life. I was afraid to lose it. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I had a fear in me of losing something that was so precious. I did not want to lose it, and so I cherished it and done everything I could. But you know what? I wasn't very accurate, but I think it pleased the Lord. The Lord put His hand on me. It helped me because I had the heart to do it. I don't want to lose. I want to be saved. I don't know what it all means. And folks, listen. You may be smarter than me and can explain some of the things. Some of you might be not be that smart and can't explain some things. But I'm going to tell you, explaining things don't mean much. What really means something is that we live for the Lord with our whole heart. That we care about what we're doing and those kind of things. So I don't know what the future altogether is. I think I have some understanding of what the Lord's doing, what He's done in my life, and what He will do. But I'll tell you what I've concluded at the whole thing. It ain't what I don't know is going to get me. It's what I do. And I know that I can't be free if I don't forgive in my life. I know I'm not free by getting sin in my life and telling dishonest things and living a certain way. I can't make it being a hypocrite. I can't do that. I can't be one thing and be another. There's so much out there, folks. Listen, it's not some big gory monster that you have to worry about. It's this present time, folks.
The internet is amoral. In itself, it isn't an evil. But you better watch out. It can't make you lustful. It can only develop the lust that you have in you. You have to give yourself to the things that's there. But I want to tell you, that's scary. I don't know if you feel the fear. You should feel the fear today of that. But there's things that you can get wrapped up in and lose your never-dying soul. And it's all the way around. You don't have to go far to get involved in all kinds of things. Give, do you know that the scripture says that if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God? Now, I didn't say, it ain't my words. That's God's interpretation to us. You pursue holiness. In the pursuit of holiness, you can't be a friend of the world. Well, the world's a little hard to define, isn't it? You find it a little abstract sometimes to really define that idea of the world. It can be abstract because it can flow from some different place. I mean, I go to the Walmart. Is that worldly? Well, I can't totally say that it's not the world. It is kind of the world. I mean, we go and we shop and we don't partake of the things of that. But it's more than that. It's an arrangement of things. It's the way the world thinks. It's the way it does things. The world promotes the flesh. We're not to promote that. It promotes a whole different idea than the Lord is trying to promote. It's a different direction. It's the cosmos. It's the arrangement. The way the world does things. We're not to have that kind of mind. We're to have a different mind. A different heart about us. I am afraid of something today. I think about it quite a bit. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be lost. I'm afraid of that. It's a fearful thing. Well, there's another scripture. Before I go, I want to just mention a scripture that comes to my mind sometimes. Remember the scripture of the rich man that's fields brought forth plenty? He was already rich by description. His field brought forth plenty. I don't know why anybody would plant a field unless he had an expectation for it to bring forth plenty. Was nothing wrong with planting a field and expecting it to bring forth plenty. And it did bring forth plenty. That's a blessing. The man was blessed in the fact that he planted it. Not all fields. You can ask some of these farmers. They don't always bring forth plenty. Sometimes it don't do anything but grow up into a little nubbin of a thing and don't make it amount to anything. But this man was blessed and it brought forth plenty. And so in the privacy of his own home, the story takes place. A man is simply sitting and contemplating. This story isn't about a man that did anything. It's a man that thought something. His fields have brought forth plenty, and while it's out in the fields, the man is sitting and considering what he had and what he was going to do with it. I'm going to tell you, he didn't think very seriously about his soul. He sits and in his determination, he says, what I'm going to do. I'm a rich man. My fields brought forth plenty. I don't have enough room to build them. There's a lot of business people in here that full with business. What would you do with a field full of stuff that would only run if you didn't have bigger barns? I think you'd make some kind of arrangements to store it somewhere, wouldn't you? Before it can even be distributed. What would you do with it? You'd do what this man did. This man simply went through a thought process that we go through sometimes about what our life is and what we're going to do with our life. And he never one time interjected the eternal purpose into his life at all. He simply said in himself, I got this stuff, I'm going to tear down the barns I have and I'm going to build bigger. Then he really got there when he said, then I'm going to say to my soul, take your ease. You got much laid up for a long time. It sounds good. It sounds like a good plan for a human to do. But he didn't have no fear for his soul, folks. And his plans went awry in the fact that the Lord came and said, this night, thou fool, thou fool. You know, it's the same statement that can be said for not forgiving, for unforgiveness. Thou fool, why did you find yourself lost in unforgiveness? You got bitterness in your life. Thou fool. How many meetings have you went through? How many messages have you heard? How many altar opportunities have you had? How many times has the Spirit brought that back into your mind? Thou fool. You've considered this or just to go on with the charade of hypocrisy, to pretend to be something that you're not. What a foolish thing to do. To put out that much effort and not get anything for it. Thou fool. Well, the man with the barns, we know the story. He gave his soul that night. Then whose will this stuff be? None of it mattered. Do you know it really didn't matter, did it? Look at the end of it. You know the only thing that's really going to matter in our existence is what the Lord says at that time. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. What a solemn thought. Goes back to the whole idea of holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. I want to look at this scripture in Luke. I'll close with this thought. Luke 21. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nation with perplexities, the sea and the waves roaring. Well, that's scary. All those things are scary. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Men's hearts failing them for looking upon the things that's coming upon the earth. You know, you get your eyes onto the things that's happening around in the world. They can be fearful. This says so much so that men are fainting and there's this awful idea of the things coming on the earth. But I'll say this, and still yet in the whole story of it all. All of these people we read about, whether they died a martyr or died a hypocrite or they died faithfully, they was an apostle that won many souls to the Lord, or they was apostate and won many people to the devil. One thing's sure. They're all gone. Every one of them is gone. In the history of time, it's only written now. All their chapters have been read. Theirs is all gone. All gone. And so will ours be. And it won't be that long till most of us is going to go that way, just like everybody else before us went. And you look on and say what's coming on the earth. And the only thing that really matters in the whole thing is that throughout the course of it all, I live faithful. Throughout the course of it all, I pursued the grace that brings holiness. I gave holiness as my number one pursuit, and I did not fail. With that as a pursuit, it doesn't leave the grace of God dormant. Because I pursue that, I use up my grace. Because I want that in my life, then I pursue the grace that allows it to happen. And that we're not failing of the grace of God that has been so freely given to us to be able to make it to that point. But to those that just look off for some catastrophic event somewhere and leave off the particulars of their life, Lord have mercy. They look and fear for those things. And are willing to do just about anything to get out of the damage that that other stuff is doing. I lie, I cheat, I'll do anything that I have to do. Lord help us. That's why it should bring such a carefulness that it wrought. I'm gonna look at the rest of that scripture just because I didn't read all of it in 2 Corinthians. Yeah. What carefulness it wrought in you, what clearing of yourself. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. What revenge. In all things, ye have approved yourself to be clear in this matter.
Folks, listen. When I write my name on something, I have to do it occasionally. On applications or I say forms or every once in a while a tax year comes up and there's a signature placed there and it says that my signature is saying that I'm telling the truth. Do you know when I write that, I feel the full weight of that. And when I start to write that, there's been times that I've looked that thing over. I'm about to say something. You say, well, that ain't lying, you ain't speaking. Yeah, well, I can step outside in the yard and say I ain't here too. But that is a statement. That's a place of honesty. You are saying, I swear, I'm saying that this is true. I don't know, I've said this before, and you that truck, you do whatever you want to. But there's logs in there when you write it down. You can have one log book, two log books, three log books. You can keep as many books as you want to. I'd rather an asteroid hit me on the head than write down something like that that ain't going to be true, because I'm going to have to tell the Lord why I lied. That scares me. That scares me when I get into a place that I feel a temptation that money is more important to me than my soul. Boy, if I do this, I'm going to have to pay more taxes. Or if I do this, it's going to cost me a couple $100. When I feel that, I get scared. Because there's something more important than that. This is what, in a nutshell, it's all about. Staying clear before the Lord. Keeping my heart clear before the Lord. And what carefulness, what zeal, what revenge against evil. Like I said, it takes going to a point, it goes beyond that. It takes proaction sometime. Not only will I claim that, I'll put something down that I don't even have to. Devil, you start doing that, I'll pay $200 more to make sure my soul's clear. I'll show you what zeal, what vehemence. I'm going to show myself approved in this. All years ago, like I said, you can do what you want to. I know what I got to do. Years ago, come out with the lottery up there. I don't believe in gambling. I stood against it. I never bought a lottery ticket in my life. And ain't going to start. But I went and had work done on a car one time in a garage. And one of their things was when you got through, they gave you a free lottery ticket. Now, it ain't gambling if you don't put up something to it. Right? I'm saying in logical, I didn't pay a dollar for it. I ain't risking my dollar. I didn't pay a dollar. And I got a ticket. And I remember driving with that ticket. Got me a lottery ticket. Hey, this might be a winner. Who knows? Well, I don't know if it was a winner. And I'll never know it was a winner. Because I had to defeat the devil on that. And, you know, it was a little scratch. And anyway, find out. Then you can make the determination to whether you want to claim your money. Gets harder as you go. Well, you do what you want to. You know what I done? I said, devil. I'll never know what this is worth. Oh, I went around a little bit, got me a lottery ticket before I tore it up and threw it away. I don't know if it was a winner or not. Don't care. I don't want to get involved in it. So I stayed away from it. I'm going to tell you, the pursuit of holiness is the sum of the whole thing. It's when you get to the bottom of it and you've kept your integrity, you've kept your purity, you've kept your love, you've loved in spite of hatred to you, you've done it. At the end of it, you got down. And old Stephen being stoned, what did he say at the end of it? He said, don't delay it to their charge. Yeah, they done something, but don't lay it to their charge. He kept it. He was able to maintain it all through all of that, and holiness was realized, and I believe he made a good testimony of his life. You pray for me, I want to be faithful.